Well, he normally joins us in the studio at this time, but this week he is on location, which kind of makes it sound a bit more exotic than he actually is. He's just caught up with a bit of work. It's Jim Jones Talking Politics. Good morning, Jim. This week it's all about what is happening on Manus Island. Of course, that's been a source of contention.
Hello. Yep.
It's been a source of contention for us, Jim, for quite a while. The closure is in the process of happening. Of course, a lot of folks there are a little bit uncertain about what is happening with their future, and those of us on the sidelines would like to get a bit of clarity as well. What is the latest there, Jim?
Well, the latest at the moment, Mark, is that the government has... the Australian government has, as you know, closed the centre, and the detainees, the people who were housed there, so to speak, were, you know, are very reluctant to leave and go into the wider community in Manus Island. They are very fearful, and I think with some justification, because they haven't been well accepted as an entity on the island. You know, the detention centre was not seen in a positive light by many people in PNG, particularly the Manus community, and are not particularly happy to have the refugees in amongst them. It's a very poor community with very sort of limited resources, and so integrating 500 or 600 refugees and asylum seekers is really, really difficult, and culturally very difficult as well. At present, the Papua New Guinea Supreme Court is contemplating whether to direct the Papua New Guinea government to reconnect water and electricity to the detention centre so that the people who are currently still there will at least have the basics of some sort of human existence.
Well, which is at least great that that will take place. Of course, a lot of uncertainty, Jim, still about what is going to happen long term with these folks that are coming out of the centre. Is that was that the plan that's being put forward, that they would become part of the Manus Island PNG community, or that they would move somewhere else? What's the actual plan for folks there?
Well, I think that's a bit unclear, but I think the longer term plan was for the Australian government's negotiations with the US government to relocate a significant number, something like 1,000 asylum seekers, maybe a fraction more, and that would include those on Manus Island. So, but that is still under negotiation. It's still dragging on. In the meantime, they've closed the detention centre, perhaps in response to people's perceptions that the treatment of the asylum seekers is less than humane. And now the government, the Australian government, is saying, "Well, that's we've closed the centre. You know, that's a good step. That's a good thing in the right direction." But the problem is that there are several hundred asylum seekers who are basically in limbo, and you know, who are genuinely feared for their lives. They became asylum seekers because they were feared for themselves and their safety in their home countries, and so fled. And now they've been kept in Manus Island in pretty difficult conditions, and some might say very inhumane conditions. And now they're faced with the prospect of being allowed to sort of go into the wider community where they're not wanted, and generally the people, even if they did want to integrate them into the community, don't have the resources to do so. So the Australian government is sort of... in a sense, sort of washed its hands of it, saying we've got something in process with the US government, but we're still looking, you know, and we're still trying to do the right thing. Well, you know, this has become a very difficult thing for the asylum seekers, and certainly for the Australian, shall we say, the reputation of Australia as a signatory to the human rights organisations.
Jim, do you think, just very quickly before I let you go, that the one of the underlying factors might be here is that if we make it sort of put it in the too hard basket for people to come here, that may send a mass message further up the line that, well, look, we won't try and come to Australia because you're going to get there, you're going to spend this time in a centre and then go goodness knows where. Let's just try somewhere else that might be a bit of a softer touch?
Well, I think that's certainly the logic of the government's position, and not just this government, by the way. It's been, you know, a decades-long process in which it's escalated over time, and the position of the successive Australian governments has been, if we send a really negative message out, then people smugglers and asylum seekers will steer clear of Australia. That's their logic, and that's struck a very resonant chord in the wider community. Most of the population seems to be of the view that the government has done something successfully, if you like. But at what cost? We're talking, over the past 3 years, something like $10 billion that this strategy has cost. And to what end? Have we really contributed something positive here? I mean, has the Australian government, it succeeded in its terms, deterring asylum seekers? That may be so, but for $10 billion, could we have found a different solution, and one which may well have worked to much the same effect without, you know, the sort of horrendous conditions that we've had in Manus Island and elsewhere where detention centres have been set up?
Well, Jim, that is the question that we'll keep pondering, the $10 billion question. And a lot of times these things come down to money and votes. We'll talk to Jim Jose again next week, and I'm sure we'll follow that one up again in the near future at 2NURFM. 28 past 9. Good